Today, on this episode of the PeerDirect Special Spotlight.
So let's discuss a couple of recent studies presented at the 18th International Conference on Malignant Lymphoma in Lugano, Switzerland, exploring treatment specifically in this population.
Today, Drs. Seshadri and Fakhri join the podcast to discuss regimens for patients with high-risk CLL in this PeerDirect Special Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative's supporters.
Hi, I'm Dr. Madhav Seshadri, Assistant Professor of Medicine in the Division of Hematology and Oncology at the University of California, San Francisco.
And I'm Dr. Beta Fakhri, Assistant Professor of Medicine in the Division of Hematology at Stanford University School of Medicine in Palo Alto, California.
It's nice to be here with you today,
Beta. My pleasure, Madhav.
In patients with high-risk CLL, current treatment options are not as durable in patients with adverse genetic features such as deletion of chromosome 17p or TP53 mutations, complex cytogenetics, and other factors. And so there's a critical need for innovative therapeutics and more high-quality clinical evidence to optimize outcomes for patients with these features. So let's discuss a couple of recent studies presented at the 18th International Conference on Malignant Lymphoma in Lugano, Switzerland, exploring treatment specifically in this population. We saw 5-year results of the Sequoia Arm C study that looked at zanubrutinib monotherapy, as well as early data on the ongoing CLL16 phase 3 study from the German CLL study group of obinutuzumab and venetoclax with or without acalabrutinib.
You're absolutely right. As much as our field has made a lot of progress, but we still owe our patients with TP53 aberrant disease a lot. So I was encouraged to see the Sequoia Arm C results. So the 5-year follow-up of zanubrutinib monotherapy in patients with treatment-naive CLL, SLL with deletion 17p was presented. And among 111 patients who were enrolled on this arm, median age was 71 years, very much what we expect in our patients with CLL. The majority of those patients, again, as expected, were male, 70%. 60% of patients had unmutated IGHV, which is an adverse prognostic feature. And about 4 out of 10 patients had both deletion 17P and TP53 mutation. So in this high-risk patient population, the median PFS and OS after a median follow-up of 65 months was not reached, and the 5-year PFS rate unadjusted was 72%, and you know the trial enrolled heavily during the COVID pandemic, so when adjusted for COVID, the 5-year PFS rate was about 73%. And going to the overall survival data, the 5-year overall survival rate, again, unadjusted was about 85%, and when adjusted for COVID was slightly better at 87%. And the overall response rate was 97%, with about 18% of patients achieving CR or CR with incomplete count recovery. And the good news, the treatment is still ongoing in slightly over 62% of patients. So the efficacy results were pretty promising. Then we come to the safety data, the most common adverse events included infections in 80% of patients, bleeding 60%, neutropenia in 20% of patients, and hypertension in about 18% of patients. And when we talk about grade 3 or higher adverse events, infections happened in 1 out of 3 patients, neutropenia 16% of patients, and hypertension in less than 10% of patients. And with that, Madhav, what about discussing the CLL16 trial design, which was another great trial presented by the German CLL study group?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I thought this trial was really interesting. So we know that the combination of venetoclax and obinutuzumab is highly effective in patients with CLL, including patients with high-risk CLL with TP53 aberrations or unmutated IGVH status. These patients can still respond well, but the treatment-free interval after completing a fixed duration of therapy may be shorter compared to patients with standard risk factors. The combination of venetoclax obinutuzumab with acalabrutinib, meaning the triplet adding acalabrutinib to the venetoclax obinutuzumab regimen, may offer superior efficacy, especially in these patients with high-risk CLL. There are other trials which look at the combination of BTK inhibitors with venetoclax, such as the AMPLIFY trial, which excluded patients with TP53 aberrations, and also the CLL2 GI venetoclax trial, which provides some rationale for this combination as well. CLL16 compares venetoclax obinutuzumab with the triplet of acalabrutinib venetoclax obinutuzumab in patients with previously untreated high-risk CLL, defined by presence of deletion of 17p chromosome, TP53 mutation,